Today's shiur is Daf Mem Dalad. We're going to begin on the Mishnah, six lines from the top. Before we begin the Mishnah, some introductory words. What we're going to be learning today is about Muksa. Now, as you speak about Muksa, you realize that there are very many different categories of Muksa. We are going to be introduced in today's shiur to two categories. One category is called muksa machnas mius, something which is repugnant. The example we're going to be using about is an earthenware lamp which was used as a candelabra, but because it's made out of earthenware, as soon as you put oil into it, it becomes unusable for other purposes. The only use people will have out of it will be as a candelabra. It'll be moss. It'll be repugnant for anything else. Another form of muksa we're going to work with today is what's called muksa machmasisr. That if by using this item you could be transgress an isser, which in our case, again, a candelabra with a lit candle, you could come to be over an isser, you could come to be transgressing a veir of kibuy, of extinguishing. That also is another form of muksa. Two more words of introduction. When we speak about a lamp, a candelabra, in the Gemara, we're talking about one that was used, that uses oil as its fuel, not candles. And one more very important concept, really said by the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish makes a point. It's very obvious that in the candelabras, the lamps that were used in those times, were not strictly used for a lamp, for light. They had other purposes, maybe for storage, maybe for other uses. Our candelabras, no matter what material they're made out of, are obviously strictly used for lights, for candles. And therefore, a lot of what we're learning in today's shiur is not going to be halach lemaisa as far as the candelabras or the lamps that we have, but will be halach lemaisa in terms of the concepts of the different types of muksa that we will encounter and what the halacha is in these different types of muksa. Begins the Mishnah. Metatlin ner chadash. The Tanakhama says we can move a new lamp, avala yashin, not an old one. Why? Because the old one, we're talking about an earthenware lamp, which after being used becomes muksa machmas mias. And anything which is muksa machmas mias, the Tanakhama holds, is muksa. Machloikas rishonim, what is the halacha on muksa machmas mias? Some rishonim say that muksa machmas mias is totally muksa and may not be used. According to the mandam that agrees to the concept of muksa machmas mias, may not be moved under any circumstances. Other rishonim say that a muksa machmas mias could be moved, but not for any other purposes. Kol aneres metatlan, all lamps may be moved. Chutz min aner hadolik b'Shabbos, except for a lamp that's actually burning on Shabbos, because such a lamp is muksa machmas isser. It's very interesting. Rashi points out that even Reb Shimon, who, as we've said and will say, has a limited definition of muksa, will agree with this isser of moving a lamp when it's lit, as we'll see in the Gemara in a moment. And the reason Rashi says is, Shema yichpe, perhaps it will get extinguished when you move it. Which is very interesting, the Mashal points out. Because this is really a shaila in the Gemara later on Daf Mem Zayin. Why Reb Shimon holds that you can't move a lamp that's lit, and the Gemara says it can't be because it's Shema Yichbe, may be extinguished. Because if it gets extinguished while I'm moving it, it would be a Dov Hashem Skavin. It would be something I didn't intend to do. And as we've learned many times, Rav Shimon holds that a Dov Hashem Skavin is Mutter. So the Gemara says the reason Rav Shimon holds you can't move a lit lamp is because it's a Bosses L'davar Osser. The flame is Osser, the flame is a piece of Isser, and the candelabra is a Bosses to it. So the question the Masha asked is, why does Rashi not say that reason, which is the reason that the Gemara follows in the Maskana? The Pnei Yeshua explains very beautifully. Why is a flame a Davar Osser? That a lamp under it is considered a Bosses L'davar Osser. Because since a flame is something that can be extinguished, and extinguishing involves a Melacha D'oraisa, or could involve a Melacha D'oraisa, that makes the fire, the flame, a Davar Osser, and the candelabra under it, a Bosses L'davar Osser. So when Rashi says Shema Yichbe, it doesn't mean that you can't move it because maybe you extinguish it. Because that Rav Shimon would not hold as the reason to Osser. What is the reason? Because it's a Bosses. Why is it a Bosses to the flame? Why is the flame Osser? Because it could be extinguished. Begins the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Matatlan Ner Chodesh. We may move a new candelabra, Avala Yoshin, but not an old one, Dir Rabbi Yehuda, because it's Muksa Machmas Mias. Ramei Oimer. Kol Aneres Matatlan. All lamps may be moved. Chutz Meraner Shalikba B'Shabbos, except for a lamp which a flame had been lit for the Shabbos. Why? Because it's Muksa Machmas Isser. And although Remeya does not subscribe to Muksa Machmas Mias, he will subscribe to Muksa Machmas Isser, and he'll go a step further. He'll say that if it was lit Bein HaShemoshes, Remeya will agree with the concept of Migadis Gatsoyla Bein HaShemoshes as Gatsoyla Kula Yoyma, and it will be us to move it on Shabbos even after it goes out. Rav Shimon Oimer, Chutz Min HaNer B'Dolek B'Shabbos. It's only us to move the lamp as long as it's lit. Kofsa, but once it gets extinguished, Mutter L'Tatla, it will be Mutter to move the lamp. Rav Shimon doesn't hold with the concept of Muksa Machmas Isser, nor would Muksa Machmas Mis. Aval Koisu Karva Shoshes, regarding a cup, a bowl, and a lantern, Lo Yizizim Mekoimam, they can't be moved even after they're extinguished. And we'll explain soon why. Rav Elazar of Shimon Oimer, Rav Elazar of Shimon says, Mestakbik Min HaNer HaKova, one could take oil directly from a lamp that is going out, or min HaShemen HaMetaftif, and from oil that is dripping, afilu b'shoah shaneh doylik, even while the lamp is burning. Now let's understand Rav Elazar of Shimon. Rav Elazar of Shimon is telling us even a bigger leniency than his father. And he's saying that if the lamp is already sputtering, it's flickering, you could move it. You could already start moving it. Why? So, because it since it's about to go out, there is no concern of extinguishing. So all the Rishonim ask, but isn't there a problem of Gram Kibui, which we learned in Masechta Beya, we actually learned in this Masechta, a person is not allowed to do anything that could cause extinguishing. So here, by moving this candle that's sputtering, aren't you doing Gram Kibui? So the Rishonim explain as follows. There are two reasons why Gram Kibui is also, as we learned earlier. One reason is because when you take oil out of a candle that's burning, you make the light burn weaker, burn dimmer. However, this candle is on its last legs anyway, so it's not going to make the light burn weaker. It's as weak as it's going to get. So that's why there's no problem according to those Rishonim. And even according to the Rishonim who explain that the Isser of Gram Kibui is because you are making the candle burn for less amount of time. That means, if you have enough oil in a candle to burn for an hour, and by you taking out oil, the candle will only burn now for a half an hour, that's only when the candle has still some potential to burn. However, in our situation, the candle's on its last legs and is anyway going out. Your taking out oil doesn't really make a difference, and that's why there's no problem of gram kibui. And that's why Rav Shimon says that even when the candle's already sputtering, you can move it. And the other thing he says, you could use oil that is dripping from the lamp even while the lamp is burning. Why? Because Rav Elazar Rav Shimon holds that this oil is not muks anymore once it's spilled out of the candle. There's a machlokes rishonim what Rav Shimon, his father, will hold regarding Shemen HaMetaftef. Tosfos clearly understands that Rav Shimon will hold that as long as the candle is burning, the oil that spilled out of it also may not be used. However, many Rishonim disagree, and they say that Rav Shimon will hold that once the oil spilled out of the candle, even if the candle is still burning, you may use that oil. Amar Abaya, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, Sova lo kavu b'chada, agrees with his father regarding one point, or Palagla b'chada, and disagrees with him in another point. Sova lo kavu b'chada, he agrees with his father, the lesley muksa, that he has a much, just like his father has a very limited view towards muksa, he too has a very limited view towards muksa, and that's why he doesn't hold a muksa machmas mius, and that's why he doesn't hold a muksa machmas isser. It's interesting to note that Rabbi Kiva Eger says, when we're saying now that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon don't hold a muksa machmas mius, it's not that they don't subscribe at all to the concept of muksa machmas mius. They say they, in theory, agree that something which is so repugnant that a person doesn't want to use it as muksa. But Rabbi Kiva Eger says, if a person has something which is muksa machmas mius, and now he goes and is going to use it, so it's obviously not mias to him. Because if it was mias to him, why would he use it? So in other words, Rabbi Kiva Eger is saying is Rabbi Shimon subscribes to the concept of muksa machmas mias. He only says that when you want to use it, you're showing that to you it's not mias, and therefore doesn't fall under the category of muksa machmas mias. Or Pala Glava Chada, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon disagrees with his father. Dilav Savar Rav Shimon holds cover in that when can you move the lamp? Only after it gets extinguished. Lo cover, but before it gets extinguished, lo, you may not move it. Because, as we explained before, it's a bosses to the flame. V'iyu Savar, whereas Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon holds afagam the lo cover, even the flame has not yet completely gone out, you already can move it, as we explained before, because according to him, it's not any more a problem of gram kibui. Now the Gemara goes and mentions one of the points that was mentioned in the Braisa and discusses it. But before I go further, it's interesting that the Mefarshim point out that here we find a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon and his father Rav Shimon. And the halacha is that a son shouldn't disagree with his father. So they point out that a son not disagreeing with his father relates to merely the alma, issues about the world or philosophy or shittas. However, when you're dealing with halacha lemaisa, certainly even a son may disagree with a father if that's what he feels is the right halacha. So we learned in the braisa, avakos v'kar v'ashoshes, a cup, a bowl, a lantern, leizizim v'kamram may not be moved. Ask the Gemara, Maishnohani, why does ostensibly this part of the Brice is going according to Rav Shimon? Why does Rav Shimon say that these lamps may not be moved after they're extinguished? Ula. So Ula says, you're right. According to Rav Shimon, they should be moved even after they are extinguished. Seif Osman Rav Yehuda. The Seif is going according to Rav Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda will hold that they may not be moved, because Rabbi Yehuda will hold the muksa machmasisa, a shita he holds off. Maskev lamazutra, ask Rav Zutra, if that's pshat in the braisa, yochemai avol, then what does the braisa say Aval. Aval means however. Something else I may move, and these I may not move. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't even move small lamps, because all lamps are muksa machmas isser. Elam mazutra. Therefore, mazutra says, l'oilin Rabbi Shimon. This part of the Brice is going according to Rabbi Shimon. However, the chicha shari Rabbi Shimon, when did Rabbi Shimon allow you to move a lamp, to use a lamp after it goes out? Benazuta, in a small lamp. The data levei, which somebody has intent to use after it goes out, he expects it to go out, and after it goes out, he will use it. Avalhani, regarding these big cups, the nefishi, which are large, Lloyd, the person doesn't expect them ever to go out on Shabbos, and therefore, even they go out, he already was maxedas, he set them aside, that they will not be usable to Shabbos, and therefore, even Reb Shimon will agree that they're muksa. Ask the Gemara, for Tanya, we learned in a braisa, Maisa Hashem Shabbanevish Bekara. The leftover oil in a lamp or in a bowl, also, are also to be moved after the flame goes out. Rabbi Shimon Mater, Rabbi Shimon says you may. So here you see that even a Kara, after it goes out, Rabbi Shimon is Mater. Answers the Gemara, Hasan Kara Dumi Daner, Hasan Kara Dumi Dekais. And matters on what size bowl we're talking about. If we're talking about a big bowl, then you can't be moved. You can't move it. Why? Because the person was Maxidas, he doesn't expect it to go out, and he expects this lamp to be on the whole Shabbos, and he won't be able to move it. So even if it does go out, it's muksa. When you're dealing with Dumi Daner, and it's a small cup, which he expects to go out, therefore, he may move it. And the Chodesh Avav points out, now we can understand the Mishnah. The Lashon HaMishnah was, Rav Shimon HaMikol HaNeres Metatlon Chutz HaNer HaDolek B'Shabbos. The Mishnah usually would have said, Metatlon Ner Chodesh Avol HaYashon. Rav Shimon Matir, why does the Mishnah say this whole long sentence, Kol HaNeres Metatlon Chutz HaNer HaDolek B'Shabbos? Because Rav Shimon is pointing out, says the Chodesh Avav, not all candles that were on are also, not all candles are only also when they're on. There are going to be cases where even the candle is off that I'm not going to be allowed to use it. When? When it's a big cup. That's why he used this more lengthier lashon to make this point. Tosfos makes a very interesting observation. Tosfos says the machlokes of Shimon Rabbi Yehuda here is only on Shabbos. That means if the candle went out on Shabbos, on my ladder, you move that candle and that oil on Shabbos. Rav Yehuda says not, Rav Shimon says yes, at least by a small candle. What about, but afterwards, after Shabbos, says Tosfos, everybody seems to agree you could use it. It was set aside for a mitzvah, and we know that something that was set aside for a mitzvah is asur to be used. As we find, says Tosfos, by Hanukkah candles, that we learned earlier in this Masechta that all the leftover oil that was used for the Hanukkah lights must be burnt, cannot be used for regular use. So Tosfos says there's a difference between the oil and the candle that's used for Shabbos and the oil and the candle that's used for Hanukkah. The oil and candle that's used for Hanukkah is set aside for a mitzvah, for the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles, for nothing else. And therefore, anything left over from it is huksel and mitzvasai and may not be used for any mundane use. However, the candle that was used for Shabbos candles isn't set aside for a mitzvah. It's set aside because I have to have light in the house on Shabbos, as we learned. Shalom Bayis, Oynik Shabbos, Kavod Shabbos. Therefore, since it's set aside for a mitzvah, it's a pure mitzvah, I therefore cannot use it even after it goes out. There's one more question. We're saying now that Reb Shimon says that the candle, a small candle, after it goes out, I can move it. Why? Because I only expected that this candle would be on for a couple of hours, so I wasn't maxedas. I didn't completely set it aside for the whole Shabbos. I knew and expected that it would go out, and therefore I can move it after it goes out. Ask the Rishonim. That works on the actual lamp. I didn't expect that this lamp would be a Bosel Sledover also the whole Shabbos, only by a big bowl. But what about the oil in the lamp? The oil in the lamp, I expected that it would burn the whole time. What would Rav Shimon hold if I put an oil in a small lamp, expecting it to burn for 2-3 hours until it completely burns out all the oil, and for some reason or another, the candle goes out after an hour, and I have oil left over. May I use that oil or not? From our Gemara, it seems that Rav Shimon would allow you to use that oil. But isn't that oil something that you didn't expect to have this Shabbos? That's an oil that you expect to get completely burnt up. So why are you allowed to use it? Why isn't it different than the big bowl of oil that you are maksadas? So Rishonim say that truthfully Rav Shimon would hold that that oil in the small lamp should be usher. But since the lamp, we explained, is mutter, because the person did not expect that the lamp would be completely set aside for the whole Shabbos, once the lamp Rav Shimon holds is mutter, the oil that's in it gets schlepped with the lamp, and therefore you could use the oil. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Zeira, pomet, a metal candlestick, shedlik above Shabbos, which somebody has lit for Shabbos, and we're going to explain the Gemara like Rashi explains. L'divrei Matar, according to Madam who says you could use a used lamp, Rameyer, who does not subscribe to Muksa Machlis Mias, Osir. This will be Osir, because it's being used for Shabbos, it becomes Muksa Machlis Isir, and once it was used for Shabbos, it stays Osir for the whole Shabbos. L'divrei Oisir, and according to the Manda Omer, who says you can't use a used lamp, Rabbi Yehuda, who subscribes to Muksa Machlis Mias, mutter, it'll be mutter to move it because this is a metal candlestick, so there's no problem on Muksa Machlis Mias. Ask the Gemara, lememer, Rabbi Yehuda, Muksa Machlis Mias is lay. Are you, Rabbi Zeira, saying that Rabbi Yehuda only subscribes to Muksa Machlis Mias? Muksa Machlis Isalesle, but he does not accept the concept of Muksa Machlis Mias. But Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Kol Aneir Shlamatlis Metatlin, you could always move a metal lamp, Chutz, Me'aneir Shadlik Abba Shabbos, except for a lamp in which was used for Shabbos because it comes Muksa Machlis Isser. So it's obvious that Rabbi Yehuda does subscribe to Muksa Machlis Isser. So what are you saying, Rav Zeira? Says the Gemara, you're right. Ali Itma Hochi Itma. This is what Rav Zeira said. Om Rav Zeira, Pomet Shadlika Lov L'Shabbos. If you have a metal candlestick, not a Cheres candlestick, Divrei HaKol also, everybody will agree that you can't move it in Shabbos. Everybody, meaning Remeir Rabbi Yehuda, because they both subscribe to the concept of Muksa Machmas Isser. Lo Yedliku Alav, but if the has not been lit for Shabbos, the Reaka Mutter, everybody will hold you may move it because it's not Muksa Machmas Mias because it's metal, and it's not Muksa Machmas Isser because it wasn't used for this Shabbos. Tosfos has a problem with this pshat because he says that everything we learned here is obvious. And why would Rav Zeira come to teach me, which everything we learned was obvious from the brayse that we learned before? Therefore, Tosfos has a mahalach that the Divrei HaMatar and Divrei Oisa don't refer to Remei Rabbi Yehuda, it rather refers to Rav Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Continues the Gemara. Om Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Mita Shemiyach Delamos, if you have a bed that somebody verbally designated to be used to store money on it, Oslo Tatla, you may not move it on Shabbos, because it becomes muksa. Muksa machmas gufay. And in fact, Taisha says that it becomes so muksa that it's not even going to have the category of a klishum lach deliser, which you're allowed to move the tzarek gufay mekaymai. Just you would not be allowed to move it under any circumstances, even the tzarek gufay mekaymai. Meisvei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak asks the question. It says in a braisa, Metatlin Ner Chodesh, we're allowed to move a new lamp, Avalah Yosha, but not an old one. What does this seem to say? That only a lamp that was actually used becomes Osir. But the fact that it was just designated, a lamp that was designated, will not become Osir. So now we have the following question. Uman ner. If we have two items in front of us, we have a ner, a candlestick, a lamp, and we have a bed. Which would we assume is more muksa? Which would we assume is more set aside for a use of issa? Obviously, we would say a ner. And yet, uman ner, a lamp, the lahochi avida, which was made for the purpose for lighting. Still, kilay hidlik ba, as long as you did not actually use it, shalatatla, it does become muksa and you're allowed to move it. So mita, so bed, the lav lahochi avida, which is not made for this purpose, like Hoshtain, isn't obvious that it's not permitted to move it as long as it wasn't actually used. So what's the Gemara saying, asks Rav Nachman ben Yitzchok, that as soon as you designated the bed, it's also to be used, it becomes muksa. Says the Gemara, you're right. Eli itma hoch itma. If you want to learn Rav Yehuda Meirav's statement, you have to learn it this way. Om Rav Yehuda Meirav, meet the Shiach Talamas, a bread that was designated to be used for money. Haniach lov mas, if somebody actually placed money on it, os latatla, then it becomes forbidden to be moved on Shabbos. Lo yaniach lov mas, however, if it was not actually used for bed, for money, mot latatla, then you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Lo yich talamas. Now, on the other hand, if you did not designate it for money, yesh lamas, then if there's money on the bed, oslo tatlo, it's forbidden to move it. Ain a love mas. However, if there's no money on the bed, mutl tatlo, then you may move it. Even if money was once placed on it. Because merely storing money on a bed without verbally designating the bed for this use does not make a muksa. So as long as there's no money on the bed during Shabbos, it can be moved. However, this is only true if there was no money on the bed during Ben Shmashis, because as we learned, if there was money on the bed during Ben Shmashis, we would have the concept of Migad is Katsoil Ben Shmashis is Katsoil Kula Yoyma. So let's explain this then, as Tosfos explains it point by point. The first case is if there was money on it before Ben Shmashis. If there was money on this bed, Ben Shmashis, we say Migad is Katsoil Ben Shmashis is Katsoil Kula Yoyma, and the bed is forbidden to be moved. Says Tosfos, and this is halacha for all bosses situations. The bed is a basis to the money. That's only if meniach. If the person specifically put the money on the bed before Shabbos for Ben Shmashis with the intention to keep it there. But it was shaycheach. If the person just forgot and left money on the bed, nothing ever becomes a basis through shaycheach, through a situation they just forgot and accidentally left it, and it would not be a basis. Then the Gemara continues that if money was placed on it on Shabbos, so as long as the money is on it, the bed is also. Now the question is obvious, Tosfos asks. How did money get onto the bed on Shabbos? You're not allowed to touch money on Shabbos. So Tosfos explains that the case here is talking about that a guy or a child put the money on the bed. And in fact, the Magen Avraham proves from Tosfos' point that let's say Reuven came to Shimon's house and he put a cup under Shimon's lamp. We're not going to go into the case if that's mutter or usher, as we learned before, of if you're allowed to bring a cup, en keli nittel el tzarech davar nittel. But Reuven did that. And it becomes a basis. It becomes a basis to the oil that drips into that cup. Since Shimon is probably satisfied with what Reuven did, because it prevented his table and his tablecloth from getting dirty with the oil that drips, even though it wasn't Reuven's house, it wasn't Reuven's kalim, it still will get a din of a basis. In other words, the Magen Avraham saying not only could I make a basis, but somebody else can make a basis with my utensils. Now Tosfos brings out another point. Here we say that how long is the bed muksa? As long as the money is on it. When the money is not on it, it's no longer muksa. Ask Tosfos. We will learn a question if yesh muksa l'chatzi Shabbos or ein muksa l'chatzi Shabbos. What does that mean? If you hold a migad is katzala ben ashmashis is katzala kula yoyma, as Rabbi Yehuda does, or Meir does, a son becomes muksa ben ashmashis, it remains muksa the whole Shabbos. But what happens if something becomes muksa during Shabbos, which like the case that we're talking about, where money was put on a bed during Shabbos? Will that bed remain muksa for the rest of Shabbos or not? From our Gemara, it seems that we have a proof that a muksa l'chatzi Shabbos, that will not automatically remain muksa the rest of Shabbos. Because our Gemara seems to say that the bed will only be muksa as long as the money is on it. Once the money is not on it, it's no longer muksa. So don't we have a proof that a muksa l'chatzi Shabbos? So Tosfos explains that this is not a good proof. Because since the money was put by a guy or a child, and he might have put it there only with the express intent to leave it there for a short while, that's why it doesn't become muksa for the whole Shabbos. But could be in a case where somebody puts something down on and makes a muksa on Shabbos, there we would tack a hold that a muksa l'chatzi Shabbos, and it would be muksa for the entire day. Continues the Gemara. Amar Ula. So Ula asks, so what are we, just to review, we were holding, according to what Rav just explained, a bed which serves as a basis to muksa at Bein HaShemashis remains muksa for the whole Shabbos. Amar Ula. So Ula says, Masa Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar asked the following question. This is a Mishnah and Masech Kalim. The Mishnah Masech Kalim says, Mukhni Shalah. This is talking about a wheel. A wheel that's attached to a wooden coach. Sometimes the wheel is a removable wheel, and sometimes the wheel is not removable. Says the Mishnah, Bizman Shenish Metis, when it's removable, Ein Chibala. It's not considered attached to the coach, which means that the coach and the wheel are considered separate utensils, and therefore, even if the coach becomes tamei, the wheel does not automatically become tamei, or vice versa. Because in Hilchas Tuma we know the fact that the wheel is touching the coach is not enough to convey tuma. And since these are considered two separate kalim, they are viewed separately in Hilchas Tuma. Next halacha, ein adedisma, nor are they measured together when we want to determine the volume of the coach. Because the halacha is, wooden utensils can only contract Tuma if they are small enough to be considered portable even when full. Which, in halacha that translates, if they're smaller than the volume of holding a bomb saw, 40 saw. If they're larger than that, they are not mekabel tuma. So now we're trying to measure this wagon, and we want to know how big is it. So the halacha is that if the wheel is removable, so we only measure the wagon, we don't include the wheel in measuring it. Next halacha. Vein matzels ima ba'olamais. Nor does it combine with the coach to protect the contents of the coach from contracting tumma when passing over a corpse. What does that mean? The halacha is, as we just said, that if the wagon is very large, it won't be makabel tumma. So, if you have a person or something else in the wagon part, and they go over a corpse, if it's so big that it's bigger than 40 saw, that can hold 40 saw, anything in the coach part will not become tame, because the floor of the coach, which will be considered a mechitza, separation between the thing and the wagon, and the mess under the wagon. But that halacha only applies to the wagon itself. it does not extend itself to the wheel. Because the wheel, when it's removable, is considered a separate entity, and it will not, and it will be, and it will not have the same halacha. And therefore, the Rishonim explained further, if there are items sticking out of the wagon over the wheel, and that wheel goes over a mace, those items will become tamei. Now we get to what's relevant to our sugya. Vein goyren oisa b'shabbos, nor can we drag it on Shabbos when there is money in it. That means, if money was placed on the wheel, we may not drag the coach and wheel, since the wheel is a base to muksa. This is when we're dealing with a removable wheel, which is considered a separate utensil from the coach. However, explains Tosfos, and we'll get back to this Tosfos later, if the wheel is attached permanently, it's considered subordinate to the coach, and since the body of the coach is not serving as a base to the muksa, then you can move the coach and you can move the wheel along with it. That's how Tosfos learns. However, other Rishonim learn that you could always move the wagon. The wagon and the wheel are separate, and even if the wheel is muksa, that doesn't affect the coach. However, we're learning that, like we explained, if the wheel is subordinate to the coach, even if there's money in the wheel, you can move the coach. If the wheel is separate, you can't move the wheel, and therefore you won't be able to move anything. Now we get ha ein olam mas. What we learn from here, if there's no money on the wheel, shaya, you may move the wheel. Afgav davala ben shmoshes, even though there was money during ben shmoshes. And we don't say, since there was money during ben shmoshes, it becomes muksa for the rest of Shabbos. We just said a moment ago that we explained that anything that becomes muksa, the bed that became muksa because that money on ben shmoshes remained so the whole Shabbos. Answers Gemara, this Mishnah, Masech Tekelim, is going according to Rav Shimon, the last day muksa, according to Rav Shimon, who doesn't hold the muksa. However, Rav, Rav Yehuda Sirlei, Rav holds like Rav Yehuda, who has a broad application of muksa, and therefore Rav holds that a bed which is a base to muksa at the onset of Shabbos remains muksa for Shabbos. The Rishonim point out that we learned on Amud Aleph that Rav Shimon held that something, an item that someone abandoned hope of using, the example we use is a large lamp, is muksa for the entire Shabbos. So what is that different than a bed? So the Rishonim, the Rashba, and the Ritva explain like this. Only in the case of a large lamp, where a person deliberately poured enough oil to last the entire Shabbos, that's where we presume he abandoned hope of using this lamp for another purpose, and it remains muksa. However, a person does not totally abandon hope of using a bed that has money on it. And even though he's not allowed to remove the money on Shabbos, since there's always a possibility that a child or a guy will remove it, so therefore, when the money is in fact removed, the bed remains muksa only according to Rabbi Yehuda, not according to Rabbi Shimon. There are more paskins that if you have a bed that was designated for muksa and was actually had money designated for money and actually had money on it, that will become muksa. And the Ramah goes a step further that to remove this bed from the status of muksa, it won't be enough just to say, okay, I don't want to use this bed for money. I have to actually do something to remove that designation. And Kivega explains very well. He says, since this bed obtained its designation with a maisa of using it for money, you can't break a maisa of designation just with words. And therefore you have to do a maisa of actually using the bed to sleep on or for other purpose to show that this bed is no longer being used by you for a muksa purpose. The last thing we learned was that about the wagon and the wheel. And we learned that an item which is, we learned like this. Let's explain what Tosfos said again. Tosfos explains that the difference between a removable wheel and a non-removable wheel is as follows. A removable wheel is viewed as an entity that is separate and supported by the body of the carriage, and if there is money on the wheel is muksa, and the rest of the carriage, which supports the muksa wheel, will also not be allowed to be moved. As I said, other Rishonim disagree. But certainly the wheel becomes muksa. On the other hand, Taisha says, if the wheel is permanently attached, it's considered as part of the rest of the carriage, but it's in a secondary part. And therefore, the body of the carriage is not considered a basis to the wheel. And even if there's money on the wheel, you'll be allowed to move the carriage, even though the wheel with the money will get moved. Now the Beis Yosef applies this concept to muksa in a pocket. A pocket with money should not be allowed to be moved because it's a basis. The pocket is a basis to support the money. Now what about the rest of the garment? The rest of the garment is not a basis to the muksa. So you have a pair of pants, you left money in the pocket, can you move the pants? So first of all, we have to say what we said earlier. If the muksa was left there by mistake, it was shecheyach, not miniach, not that you left it on purpose, it never becomes muksa. It never becomes a basis, because a basis is always only by the case of miniach. But what happens if somebody was miniach? He purposely left the money in the pants pocket. If we take, says the Beis Yosef, and the Mishnah Berurah brings down this Beis Yosef of La'alocha, if we take the concept we just learned in the Gemara, the packet is secondary to the pants. The pants are not muks, are not a basis, don't have any money in them, and you'll be allowed to move the pants even though the packet has money in it. Of course, the Mishnah Berurah says the best thing to do is to try to tilt out the muksa from the packet before moving the garment. But if it's impossible, we don't have a situation of basis, because the packet is like the permanent wheel to the wagon. However, the Beis Yosef says that this halacha is limited to a hanging type packet, which is sewn to a garment, like pants packets. These packets are considered as a secondary part of the garment, and that's why they can't affect the main part of the garment. However, what happens if you have a different type of pocket? You have like a shirt type pocket, which is not a separate part from the rest of the shirt. It's connected to the shirt. There, the Beis Yosef and the Mishnah Berurah says, the muksa that is laying in the shirt pocket is actually laying on the shirt itself, and therefore the entire shirt will be considered a basis to that money and will therefore be muksa. Again, as I said before, that will only be in a case of miniach, where a person purposely left the money in the shirt pocket before Shabbos. It was shecheyach, it doesn't become a basis.